Right, well, now we've started recording, so if you wouldn't mind telling me your story now.
Well, the story I can tell you is very little, really, because I was only a boy, about five and a half years of age, I suppose. But I do remember the night very, very well. It was a lovely evening, and it's a lovely night as far as that goes. There was no wind, no rain, slight mist off the coast, perhaps, but no more. And then I remember being disturbed very, very much during the night, because the rocket that was fired was in what we call Tommy Noyes Field. That's down above Bathurstock. Mm-hmm. Machine used to make a shocking noise because it reverberated through the cove and all over the countryside. Well, immediately that goes, everybody who's able rushes off to Bathurstock to help. Mm-hmm. Remember Father and Willie and Jim tearing out of the house. Off they went. And I remember crying as a kid would cry, you know. Remember Mother walking about. And then about the first people to go off with my mother and Janie Tripp. And they went off together to help. And my mother went down to her mother, who lived in Bathurstock. But I don't know where Janie went, but I know they said they were the first two women on the scene. Mm-hmm. Now my sister Dora, who's still living in Manhattan here, she stood on the front door steps with another woman. And she told me the other day when I was speaking to her that she heard the cries of help and the screams quite distinctly from where she was.
Where was this she was standing?
Rose Nathan on the steps of the front door, you see, just yes. Outside. And that, of course, they got the Mohican, or the wreck, the manacles is just out to your left then. Mm-hmm. And she could hear her. She did very distinctly the screams and the cries for help. Well, and I don't remember much more. I saw it being a boy. I was put to bed, and there I slept. But I do remember the next morning saying to Father, "Well, what happened last night then, Father?" Well, he said, "If you come with me, boy, I'll show you what happened." And he took me up through his night then, through the lower park and gray, right to the corner of the field, and there was the Mohegan, perfectly visible with the foremast and the red funnel outside the manacles.
And the funnel and mast were visible.
Oh, quite visible. Well, I think you've seen probably a postcard, haven't you, of that?
Yes, but I didn't know how long after that might have been taken.
I'm not exactly certain of this, but I do remember the mast and the funnel stood there for some considerable time, and they all disappeared together. Mm. They were there today, gone tomorrow.
Can you remember if there was any salvage operations carried out on the Mohegan?
Well, on the Mohegan, not very much, because in those days salvage was, well, you might call antiquated, wasn't it? Going back into those days. I think they did bring a couple of tugs or something down, but I don't think there was any kind of intensive salvaging going on. There was more of a post-mortem on why and all this sort of business. I do remember they never found the captain, it stated. Yeah. Now, my grandfather, William Matthews, an old ex-Crimean veteran, he and his brother lived in Bathurstock. Captain John was the other one, and he was a captain in the Merchant Navy. And Captain John's sure that he saw a man jump off the prow of the lifeboat as it grounded on the shore and disappear up through Bathurstock. Yeah. He always did swear to that.
Because there have been rumours that Captain Griffiths, did in fact escape and disappeared.
Yes, well, that's what he said. I saw a man jump off the prow of the lifeboat as she touched the shore in Prostock and go up the valley, as they say, and disappeared. And you've never heard of again. Mm. Now, in my home in Rosnithen, we had a lady, survivor, stayed with us for a certain, quite a time. She was slightly injured. And as a matter of fact, I've got a photograph here now I can show you of her.
Have you really? Can you remember her name?
Oh, you mentioned it in that little book you're writing, Miss Noble.
No, I'm not writing a book. No, that was Kendall MacDonald.
Yes. Her name is mentioned in the book, Miss Noble, is one of the survivors.
Was she on with an upturned lifeboat?
No.
I
think she came ashore on her own. I'm not exactly sure. But at any rate, I've got a photograph here, and on the back of the photograph there's a letter to my mother thanking me for the kindness she showed to her.
Can you remember what this lady had to say about the actual shipwreck? She must have been full of it.
Well, she was, but I don't remember a great deal. I know she was very upset at the lack of order.
Yes.
You see, and the complete and utter chaos, because it was such a lovely evening. And they were sitting down, I remember saying they were sitting down to dinner and all, kind of celebrating this wonderful journey down the channel, you know, going off as they were to America. And suddenly something happened and there was complete, the lights all went out. That was the first thing that happened. The lights went out, chaos reigned, there seemed to be no order, no lifeboat drill, no anything.
Mm.
See? And then there was another little fellow. He stayed with four others down at my grandfather's place down on Pathaustuck Beach, practically. A little house is still there.
It's a little shop.
It's a little shop place there, mm-hmm. See? Jimmy McFarlane. And Jimmy had either one or two legs lost, or one was broken. Remember, Jimmy's sole, what's that, recreation was swearing very loudly and very lustily and playing a mouth organ.
Oh.
And he stayed there for some long, 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 long time.
Yeah.
And I do remember, of course, the bodies. I remember going down with my father one morning down the Reams with the old mare and cart and getting one up over the cliff and putting him in the cart and taking him up St. Kevin. It was... The people down here in those days were quite casual about wrecks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing terribly frightening or anything like that. They were quite matter-of-fact. They treated a wreck as part of their... Well, you might say... casual happenings of everyday life, you see.
Well, the value wasn't put on human life as much in those days as it is now, was it?
No, and it wasn't, I suppose. And of course, during that time, wrecks were terribly plentiful. You see, in 91 there was the Panama and the Andola.
Mm.
In 93 there was the Mohegan. In 94 would be the Paris, Glenburvy, Clan Graham. You could see all those from Manicure Point.
Was when Janie Tripp was 15, so that wasn't such a very long time away, was it?
No, that was about the same time, you see.
Yeah.
I remember tins of treacle all over Godrevy Beach. You could, two a penny, you could have as much as you like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Timber floating about and everywhere like that.
Hmm.
Well, I suppose that's about all. It was a 9-day or a more wonder up here, and it was one of those things that happened on the coast of Cornwall, and more particularly on the Manicure Rocks.
And have you at any time met any of the other survivors from the Mohegan?
Never.
And you never heard any further from this lady after she left you?
Only that letter written, about 12 months afterwards, thanking us for the kindness that we'd shown her. And that's about all, and it just faded out, you see.
I see. Well, you're one of the very few people, of course, these days that can tell us this story. There was Peter John Urin, I think, who lived at Puth House.
William John.
William John. He's not with us anymore, but you must have known him quite well,
as a
boy.
Oh, I knew Willie John, I knew Edwin, and knew, three or four of them. I knew all that family. I remember his mother very, very, very well indeed.
Yes. And incidentally to this story, you just mentioned something about being christened in the chapel that we now own.
That's right, down Puth House Chapel. I was christened when I was... quite a boy.
Yeah. And you do remember that, actually.
Oh, I remember walking down with Father, and I remember it so well.
Thank you, Joe Rogers.